Hello, friends. 5 minute pod. The news came down that it might be, 3 to 4 weeks on Middleton. So the game got split up into a couple of different sections. Is no doubt you're probably have a somewhat similar experience that the first half, really the whole game, but the start of the game was an extension of the laziness problem that has plagued the Bucks and the lack of professionalism that has plagued the Bucks and the amateur approach to coaching and performance that has been this season and many parts of many seasons going back past Kidd. But the Budenholzer era, just kind of do what you want. And then Chris gets hurt after hitting a couple of shots that ultimately would have probably led to nothing. But after hitting a couple of shots, sidebar, 5 minute episode, right? 5 minute episode. If you're gonna I don't want to say hedge, but if you're gonna do the Chris Middleton cycle, which is just a thing that it was a concession. It was a concession for the nerds who thought he was better than Klay Thompson, and then all of a sudden had to be oh yeah, but it's the cycle. But the cycle, if you want to acknowledge the cycle, which we can all acknowledge the cycle, maybe him hitting three shots doesn't make him prime Jordan. Just a thought. Perhaps you weren't aware that there wasn't a level above prime. How about the top of his circle makes him as good as CJ McCollum is in the playoffs? Just a thought. Because maybe you've seen what Booker and Jimmy Butler and McCollum and many people have done. But I don't want to get into that. Again, 5 minute pod. Chris is hurt, and if you need to hear me say it, it sucks. Chris is hurt, and it sucks. For five reasons, at least. Let's just name a couple of them. It sucks because he gives us, because ultimately, when the rubber meets the road, he's a notch below all-star level player, and it's hard to win without him given the ensemble nature of this team. Now it's the exact same for Brook and Drew, and to a only slightly lesser extent, Pop Bobby, but that's what this team has been, right? So we're losing 20% of the starting lineup, and that's as much as I'm really willing to concede. Bright side, though, the bright side take. Actually, you know, before we do this, I have to apologize. I must apologize to PJ Tucker. Because, you know, and I'm actually a little bit embarrassed because I eat this stuff up and I know it's important because I played sports and everything. Again, who cares? But, I know all that grit and grind stuff is important, which is why you didn't hear me do so much of the mocking of the Heat culture thing. Because, that stuff matters. You can make fun of it when it doesn't work, but that stuff matters, quite a bit. But, you know, it was such a roller coaster. The year was such a great roller coaster, and there was so much going on. Good games, bad games, pressure, stakes. Portis doing things, Brooke. There was so much because people to complain about. We were complaining about Stephen A. Smith in the national media. There was so much that went into that championship run. Kevin Durant's bodyguard, right? All of it. And so because of that, and because, I felt I didn't fall into it. I certainly didn't fall into it with Chris and Drew. I've told you the entire time who Chris and Drew are. Drew isn't a point guard and Chris isn't that good. I've said that the entire time, right? I guess we just have to give all the credit to PJ Tucker then. Because the effort has been embarrassing. The effort and the turnovers and the whole thing, they're showing up it's LA Fitness and it's open run. And it's, I don't think people, we don't have to worry about that now, but I don't think people really appreciate how much this is going to stain Giannis' legacy, which I think I talked about a little bit last episode. That, I mean, it's like the Jordan quote, if you don't want to play that way, don't play that way, but this is what it takes to win, right? You have to love every practice. You have to love every shooting drill, and you have to excellence, right? You have to strive for excellence. You're great at playing basketball, and you should want to dominate everybody, which is what Jordan and Kobe and Bill Russell and Larry Bird and those guys did, right? That's how jabronis like us played the game. It's, you just want to be excellent. You don't even, it's not even like a pathological winning thing, which is a slightly different thing. But apply that to Brady or Tiger Woods or any of these people. Like every time they're out there, like it's fun for them. They're great. They want to be great. And the Bucks don't do that. And even Giannis doesn't do that. And it's going to start, like, he's not going to come out unscathed from this thing if it ends up we lose next round. And I do think we'll probably now lose next round. So that's the negative part of it. But yeah, PJ, like, apparently it's all PJ, right? Because, you know, it feels good. Like, PJ's got the one thing going on. But, like, Bobby, like, took over the crowd, and I feel like the crowd is important. So there was a lot to process, right? There's a lot to process. And, like, and people got, obviously the Bucks winning a title is an emotional thing and people had their emotions tied into it, right? So all of that is great, right? All of that is great. People were nominating Chris for sainthood, like the whole drill, like everyone over exaggerated everything, including people foolishly thinking that like Giannis could be the GOAT. That's not mathematically possible, but whatever. And in so much as I'm not a cap guy, I'm still big picture guy, and big picture, like, I knew that the money couldn't go to P.J. Tucker. It had to go to Portis and these other guys. And also, big picture, why? Just because, like, 1 year it didn't behoove us. It didn't. I don't think it behooved us to spend all that money on Middleton. It still didn't. Just because we won a title didn't mean, like, he was worth that kind of money. Now, of course, sometimes you have to do these things. But just big picture, like, where did the slots go? But I guess we just needed P.J. Tucker to kick everybody's butt. Like, I guess that's what we needed because it was, like, embarrassing. It'll all be forgotten now because of the Chris injury, but like embarrassing effort and unprofessional and lazy, which is words that, you know, apply to Chris, but applies to Drew and everybody else. Like if Chris Middleton isn't lazy, who's lazy? So I am sad that he's hurt, you know, personally, professionally, whatever else. But I think it will, for those of us who are the quote unquote Chris haters, or the Chris skeptics, or the people who understand what's really been going on for these 9 long years, or however many years it's been, there is a very real sense, because this is what I said, and I said this everywhere, right? All the guest appearances on Give Me a Buck, on Win in Six, all this kind of stuff. I said, you know, we just want to defend the championship. We'll probably lose next year to the Nets, and that's okay, and then we'll be able to trade Chris and move on, because we at least defended it. And the 2011 Mavericks were cited by not just me, like a lot of people, like you should defend the title. Like it's a bit, but even on Give Me a Buck, I think I said, we probably should trade Chris now. His value is never going to be higher, but it's not the right thing to do. And I have criticisms for these owners, but I don't like spend any time thinking about rich people one way or the other. So I don't care that they're rich owners. I just think they do stupid stuff sometimes and some good stuff. But to me, This had to be, we needed to play out the string. This needed to be the season where we saw how far this could go. And I would certainly, like, you should always reevaluate what you think about any topic. If Chris could be really good every 3.5 games, you would have to consider it. Because that's actually what we're missing now, is the every 3.5 games where he's going to be as good as CJ McCollum. And we need that because all that, as a side point to the side point to the side point, all that Giannis bag talk, at least to me, is kind of coming back, because I thought he was I listened to every podcast this morning. I thought he was pretty good. But again, people do the thing that they always do where they just look down at the box score and said, yeah, look at his numbers. I thought the officials were abysmal on both ends. I thought they were more favorable to Chicago than not. But there were 3 or 4 calls that Giannis got that in my NBA he just wouldn't get, where 3 guys are under the basket looking him in the eye and he just grips the ball in his big hands and starts running at them. I felt like it was probably a 10 free throw night to him, and I feel like at one point I looked up and he had 18. Maybe it's a 12 free throw night, but I just felt like he was getting a lot of calls. And I just need to not be a hypocrite about it. I used to hate when LeBron or other people just get a whistle just because, like, if you initiate all the contact, not even through dribbling, through just running at people, I don't believe in that. Similarly, I don't believe, this is a principle thing, I don't believe in falling down on 3-pointers and getting calls. So, like, sue me on that, but that's just what I feel about it. So, again, Giannis developmentally, he's got some jumpers, he's got some moves, he's still not utilizing them in a big enough way to really matter. So, that's all the bad news, I think. 5 minutes, right? I think I meant 10 minutes and 2 seconds. All right, let's wrap this up. I think on the plus side, it's not arguable that the Bucks can play better. And Chris is ultimately, like, bad Chris is a negative. Bad Chris is a negative player. I don't think you've heard anybody say this. It's patently obvious when you watch it. Like, lazy Chris gives up layups that he shouldn't give up. Like, he's not the only one. And yes, Grayson's also kind of sketchy. He's a worse defender than Portis relative to position at this point. Now, Portis at least has some fire to it. Chris is really, really bad at a lot of stuff when he's not playing well. Like, it used to be for a while, we'd be like, yeah, like the 2017 version of the guy or pre-hamstring or whatever else. You'd be like, oh, it's a really nice player. Overrated, but a really nice player. If he's not hitting shots, he's bad. And so I would not really reference the small sample size of games where Drew got to handle the ball more and did all his stuff, because I don't make arguments that are persuasive, but I don't believe in. But Drew looked pretty awesome without Chris this year. And I still think it's more a function of, because Chris is ultimately a ball stopper, right? And what you saw is that, pardon me for saying this, but I said it last year, so I said, like, the white boy that they have him on now, Caruso isn't Tyler Herro and Huerta and these guys. Like Caruso is playing amazing defense right now. And so I feel like he got a lot of one-pass assists to Brooke, but, like, Chris was in jail. Chris couldn't do anything. And so then he's just another NBA player who's going to make a shot or not make a shot. And let me be clear, I'm not saying we're better off without him, but quarter to quarter, a lot of times it's better if he's not out there stopping the ball. And I think what we saw in the games where it was Drew and Giannis, or just Drew, is that the ball is going to move around the perimeter, and now we have guys who can actually attack closeouts in Connaughton and Grayson and just whoever else. It'd be nice if George Hill was back, to the extent that I don't think anybody's sure what the deal is or if he's washed or what. But now we can have the ball move around and have athletes attack the closeouts and kick out. Like, once the ball gets to Chris, he has to think. And if he needs to get in the point, that's going in the post, it's going to take 9 seconds. And he's a abysmal defender, and he's a bad rebounder, and you know all that, right? So, and his assists at this point are just coming with turnovers. And by the way, anybody, the passes to Giannis that he makes that he can't really see, but he makes those passes, I would say they've led to a little bit more turnovers than the regular season. But of course, like, the intensity is, like, all that is what it is, right? So again, we're not better without Chris because we need one more guy who can win a game. And I think, like, George Karl said this, and it was real simple on Locked On Bucks with Kane a couple of years ago, but just as a framework, he just thinks that your star should be able to get you 2 games, and then you just need somebody to get another game and somebody to get another game. And so for the Bucks, if you've got, like, a top 3 player, Giannis can get us 2 games. And by saying get us a win, I just mean be a difference maker. So now Portis has to get another game. Portis or Brook now has to. We need a Portis game just to beat the Bulls. Or a Brook game just to beat the Bulls. That's basically how I'm looking at it. What's up with Drew's layups? Drew, similarly awful. Passes into the crowd, like, the whole deal. It sucks. What do you want me to say? Somebody said, was this a couple of nights ago? Somebody was asking about why you bank a shot versus you don't bank a shot. I think the thing, like, Drew scaling up in volume is important just because, like, he's going to make layups if you give him enough of them. But, like, his layups, like, there are guys who are more invested in kind of the geometry of the thing. You can hear, like, I'm at a truck stop. You can hear the trucks whizzing by, right? Some guys are, like, masters, like Kyrie, or, like, many guards are masters of, like, the geometry of how to bank a ball. Drew is just kind of throwing it up there close. He's almost like a Zach Randolph, Moses Malone kind of old school. I'm just getting it close. And he's going to miss a lot of bunnies. And of course, also, he's, like, kind of the go-to is kind of this left-handed scoop hook from about 4 feet. I just think that's, I don't want to say it's not a skill, but we're just going to have to accept the variance with Drew layups. He can get to the layups, but if we need him to make one, I just don't, much like Chris hot shooting, cold shooting, I don't think it's an ability. I just think that's a roller coaster. So I guess I have to predict we're still going to beat Chicago. I felt like the crowd, the game was so just destructively a weight, just an anchor on my mental health watching it, that I kind of tuned out at a certain point. But I did feel like the crowd was good during the comeback. It seemed like people were invested, and so that was going to be like, I'm always ripping the crowd. I thought that was good, although people were saying that it was torture in the building with all those Bulls fans, which is understandable. But ultimately, if Giannis is the top three player in the league, we should beat Chicago with Drew Holiday and Portis, if he's back for game three or four, and Brooke Lopez. I would not expect any adjustments. It'd be okay, side point to the side point to the side point. Coaching is more than adjustments. Like, I understand that people were really invested in the who makes adjustments, who doesn't make adjustments. That's not the biggest. Like, coaching is bigger than that. And so there's in-game adjustments, and then there's how you coach these guys to, like, play ball. And since the Budenholzer version of, it's not the D'Antoni offense, but basically the do-whatever-you-want James Harden, do-whatever-you-want Steve Nash kind of offense, you know, the 8 seconds or less kind of, hey, first good shot offense, it's insufficient, right? It's kind of like the Andy Reid versus Belichick kind of thing. It's insufficient for adversity and obstacles. Like, it works great when it works great, and it works great regular season against the Pacers, and it works great game five against the Suns. Like, when it's on. I just don't think there's really a plan B. So yeah, we're going to miss Chris Middleton. Like, if you need to hear me say, we are going to miss Chris Middleton, because I think even like the 2018-2019 version of him, he'd give you one good game. I'm glad that I'm get to dodge, assuming we get by the Bulls, all the sketchy lies about how he's a Celtics killer. Go ahead and look at those numbers. That's simply not true. But he's far more, like, if there was a spectrum of Celtic killer to the Raptors own you, he'd be far closer to, like, whatever. I hope he feels better. Like, it sucks to be... I don't even want to say this. You know what? Redact that. I don't want to say that. But what I will say is, perhaps in the off season, which hopefully isn't like next week, we got to talk about in a way that I'm not qualified to talk about. Of course, I'm not qualified to talk about any of this. We got to talk about if playing less games is like not making these guys durable, or do you think it's just random? Because, you know, if you play at a good, strong 85% all season, except for in Laffers, like, maybe, like, again, I'm not blaming him for slipping on his own sweat. I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden it seems like a lot of people are getting hurt. And, of course, there's always injuries. Injuries are part of sports. But, like, at a certain point, somebody said, well, they should cut it down to 50 games. If you cut the league down to 50 games, they play 36 games. If you cut it down to 36 games, like, dudes will play 25 games. That's just what this is. So it's not really the number of games. And frankly, although, like, I wouldn't like this either, I think we look at, like, rest and we tend to think of it like a video game, where it's like you got, like, a health bar, and once the bar is out, like you die, or you blow out your knee or whatever. The truth is, these guys get treatment just about every day. These guys wake up every day and do something. They stretch, they go to practice, they're on planes, they're moving around. Like off days for them is not like they're in Barbados, right? In the regular season. Like, they're always doing something, generally, those who take it seriously. So, yes, it's like more rest than playing in an athletic competition with the best players in the world, but, like, what would actually... Like, okay, so if Giannis takes the game off and he's not in street clothes, or if he warms up or he doesn't play, the guy still got up, stretched, you know, ran around, tried some stuff. Yes, that's more rest. But what would actually be resting is playing guys 20 minutes or 18 minutes in games, but nobody's going to do that for their stats, right? Or for the specter of gambling and how that's affecting things. I feel like this went longer than 5 minutes. I'm just going to say Bucks in six. I'm going to predict optimism. It's not like I'm predicting optimism because Chris is going, I really wish this lazy dude didn't get hurt. Like, I really wish this dude didn't get hurt. We were going to need him. It wasn't going to work anyway this year. I would have been, like, would have been awesome if it didn't work in the finals against the Suns. Like, this, if he can't make it back and we're eliminated. Because that's the other thing. And so now at this point, what does it prove, right? Can we even, it's funny, like, the fire bud is, like, coming right back on the tip of people's tongues. I don't feel like people really want to say it quite yet. But if they can fire the Lakers coach, I'm not saying the clock is ticking, but there's a clock somewhere in a drawer, and the drawer is a little bit ajar at this point. Because I don't even think they're tuning him out. I just don't think he's telling them anything. I think he's telling them what they're doing is great. And I wouldn't hang the guy on what he says in interviews. But even like somebody, I forget his name, or somebody else asked him, like, on some typically bad Chris stretch, and he's just like, I just think he's always hot. He's always awesome. And it's like, he rolls out the balls. And maybe we need something else at this point. But I'm going to say Bucks in six. I'm going to say we get the Chicago split. I'm going to say we rock them game five, and then we win game six in Chicago. I'm going to predict that. I think this will ultimately be a legendary Bucks series because the stakes are now up. And again, DeRozan, right? DeRozan, pretty good. Whatever. It's TonyWorld.com. Zip it up, zip it out, and we'll talk to you after the Bucks go up 2-1 Friday. Actually, I'm not promising any of that. We'll come back when we come back. But thanks, everybody, for support. Talk to you later.